Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Logical Soul Talk. My name is Michael Craig, and I'm your host for this weekly talk radio program. And I get to interview some really interesting folk, the ones I consider to be the best, brightest, and most creative people in the world. Now, during this 30-minute program, I'll focus mainly on some of the turning points in their lives, the people who influenced them the most, and the decisions made that brought them to the successes. And if we have time, we'll touch on a few of the current projects. You see, as a chiropractor for many years, I discovered that most people, including myself, have an underlying pattern of what I call decisions that we made as small children or picked up from our parents, teachers, or even our ancestors. And these subconscious decisions form our reality and affect our motivation and our destiny. Consequently, these decisions can either propel us to greatness or lead us to self-sabotage and failure. Now, quite by accident many years ago, I discovered I could access and change these hidden decisions to allow amazing results to happen in my own and other people's lives. And you can get more information on this discovery and natural process and buy my book while you're at it at www.logicalsoul.com. I also host a monthly meetup group here in the Atlanta area. You can check out at the same website. Now, my guests were selected simply because I found their lives and their stories very interesting. They may be rich, famous, talented, or simply great human beings. All of them, however, possess something I find rare in an individual, and that's a passion or determination for what they do. They've made some strong decisions early in life that led them to their current successes or achievements. And my goal in interviewing them here is to probe a little bit, discover their pattern of life decisions. This will allow you, as my listeners, to maybe pick up some special nuggets that will add to your motivation and nourish your own seeds of success. So listen to what they have to say. After 10 or 15 minutes, I invite you to call in with your comments, your questions, our number. Excuse me. Our number is area code 347-843-4544. That's 347-843-4544. Now, the guest on my show tonight is Dr. Brenda Wade. I had the very great pleasure of meeting Dr. Wade in Savannah, Georgia, last September, in her very first Love and Money Summit that she sponsored. And I'm going to let her tell you a little bit more about that. She's got another one coming up this coming September. She's a psychologist, what she calls a holistic psychologist. She's a television host. She's an author. She's a seminar leader, a keynote speaker, and a producer. She's known as one of the most renowned psychologists in America, and she's a very dynamic person. She has a love-centered approach to transformation in her practice and her courses. She's earned numerous awards as a psychologist, author, television host, producer, keynote speaker, and a workshop leader. She's a television producer. She's a host. She's a guest expert. She's been on the NBC Today Show. She's a family relationship expert. She appears regularly on shows like Oprah, Good Morning America, and in the San Francisco Bay Area, Dr. Wade hosts the Black Renaissance on the CW network, and she's regularly interviewed by multiple news channels on various health issues. She's a producer and host of the PBS television pledge special, Power Choices. She's also hosted nationally syndicated television program, Can This Marriage Be Saved? And she's been in Ladies Home Journal magazine for over 40 years. The San Francisco Chronicle described her as always knowledgeable, selectively tough, and sympathetic. Boston Globe stated that, and on and on and on. I can go on and on, but I won't do that because I don't want to take up her time speaking here. But she's written three books. Her most recent book is called Power Choices, Seven Milestones on Your Journey to Wholeness, Love, Joy, and Peace, where she brings together the power of psychology and spirituality to transform our lives. She's also written two other books. She's a clinical psychologist in San Francisco, speaker, she hosts workshops, and she's a consultant. Need I go on, Dr. Wade? You're wearing me out here talking about you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Michael. I'm glad you stopped. You know, all that does is say I've been around a long, long time. But I'm very honored to be with you today. How's our connection? Is it coming through loud and clear?
I'm hearing you loud and clear. How about
okay.
You?
I'm getting little funny glitchy noises once in a while, and if it gets bad, I might just call you back. But I'm really happy to be with you because I'm a big fan of your work, as you know, and I find your work so valuable. And I think that anyone who really wants to live their best life has to address the issue that you talk about in your book, which is self-sabotage. I don't know anyone, myself included, who hasn't at some point done an act or more than one act of self-sabotage. And it's usually a sign I find when I do that to myself that I'm scared. I can remember going to L.A., this wasn't all that long ago, a couple of years ago, I was called in to host a pilot for a show, and I was so anxious about getting down there, I had to fly down and get to the studio and all that, that I actually didn't hear them call my name to get on a special flight to get down there a day when the airport was backed up. And it was just the anxiety, because when we feel anxious about things, if we have any pattern inside that says, I don't deserve it, or I'm not worth it, or I'm not lovable, or we have any trauma in our childhood, boy, it'll get triggered, and there you are. And I've got those patterns all my life. I have worked really hard to transcend. That's why I do what I do, because I figure if I can get on this journey and make my life better coming from where I came from, anybody can.
That's amazing. That's amazing, Dr. Wade. Tell us a little bit about your story. You told me some, and I'm very familiar with your work. But
In a nutshell, I'm going to just start the family story, which is start with my grandpa. My grandfather was born in 1898, and when he was 30 years old, he married my grandmother, this is on my mom's side, who was then 15. So here we have a 30-year-old man coming from 1898, marrying a 15-year-old girl. She certainly wasn't a woman. And they had five children and had one pregnancy with triplets. And this is back in the time when they couldn't save multiple births. So they lost that pregnancy, and then another baby died. And this was very common back in the day, these losses. But what's important is that my family has a history of traumatic loss because my family is African-American. My grandpa was born 30 years after the African people were freed from the enslavement experience on these shores. And what that means is that the trauma, the depression, the anxiety from being in this horrible, painful situation never got healed, because the minute people got out of it, they were plunged into the next horrifying experience, which we know because it's all documented by the Library of Congress. There were thousands and thousands of people beaten, lynched, raped, killed in a variety of ways post the Civil War. And then the next phase was the Jim Crow period of legal oppression. So there's a lot of trauma when people have to survive. Now, this is not unique to African Americans. I've worked with people of Irish descent, Italian descent, Jewish descent. There isn't anybody, Native American descent, Latin, there isn't anybody in America who doesn't have a history of loss. Ask yourself, where were my ancestors three generations back?
Right.
You're going to find a history of loss. Irish people came here because the Brits opened the ports and starved the Catholic, Celtic-speaking Irish people deliberately. Deliberately. The papers said, let the dirty papers starve. So we all have this common history. Those who were native to these shores when the Europeans came faced genocide. Those who came here, you know, from Italy or other countries, were facing famine. Many of our Jewish citizens came here because of Holocaust and oppression and pogroms. We have a lot to overcome, but our generation is the first generation to have the opportunity to heal the emotional wounds. The prior generations only had the opportunity to survive, and God bless them, because we wouldn't be here if it weren't for their strength, and if they hadn't survived all of those losses. So all of that is to say, I'm the first generation in my family that had the privilege and the opportunity to do this emotional work. And what I can tell you is that because I started out as a scientist before becoming a clinician, I understand that the heavy, heavy feeling I carried with me throughout my teen years, throughout my college career, through the first part of my grad school career, that feeling has a name, and it's called depression. Mm-hmm. I was depressed, I was anxious, and I did a lot of things in that period that were acts of self-sabotage while looking really good on the outside, Michael, because I was on TV hosting my first TV show from the time mm-hmm. I was 16.
Oh.
You know, I was a professional model, I was an actress, I was earning my way through school, doing any work I could find, you know, waiting tables, selling
right.
groceries, on, and I managed to look like everything was okay. I fooled myself.
Right. But underneath there were some other things going
That's
on.
That's right. A lot was going on.
Right.
So I'm describing this because I'm guessing I'm probably not the only person who's ever felt this way.
I would say that you're right. I would say that
you're
right. And I'm really, but I must say, Dr. Wade, I'm really impressed with where you came from and where you go at where you are right now. I mean, you've accomplished so much, and you've got so much yet to accomplish. I know you've got a lot in the works right now. Let me ask you something of a little bit of a clinical nature. I know you're a psychologist, and I know that, for example, there's starting to come up this idea that perhaps behavior and decisions made by our ancestors, something can be passed down. Behavior can be passed down.
Absolutely.
I know this was ascribed to Lamarck, and I think
yes.
he was sort of ridiculed for many years, and then Darwin, because of Darwinism, but now that's sort of coming back in favor. You want to speak a little bit about
that? Listen, I can't say enough about it.
Mm.
And this is actually what I was trying to say when I talk about our history. There are three things we have to have in order to live our best lives. And I borrow that phrase, live your best life, from Oprah Winfrey. She has this little section mm-hmm. in her magazine about live your best life. And I
right.
like that phrase because it allows us to see ourselves as human beings as a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
And the
right.
more we work on ourselves, we heal ourselves emotionally, and we come to what I call insight. In my Power Choices book, insight is one of the seven steps, and each one of the steps is an I. We start out with the step of initiation, and we have to work our way through from initiation and insight and all of that to get to the final stage, which is we become innovators. And an innovator is a person who has worked enough on themselves that they can give some of what they've learned to others.
Mm-hmm.
And when
mm-hmm.
we work on ourselves, it just frees up. When I talked about that heavy feeling, it just frees it up. It frees up all that energy. You know, I couldn't have accomplished anything in my life if I had not had help doing it. And we live in a culture, Michael, where we are so shy about saying, hey, you know what? I'm not feeling that great, or I'm hurting, and I need help. We live in this culture where, you know, if you're a real American, you're an independent person, you're an individual,
right. Right.
and you're self-sufficient, and you don't need a darn thing or anybody else. Well, that's bogus.
Right.
As human beings, our brains are actually hardwired for us to be social, to be communal, to live in communities. And just one generation ago, we all lived in communities. And now everybody's transient and moving here, moving there. You're telecommuting from home, and couples are, you know, married, and one person lives in Chicago and the other one lives in New York City. And
mm-hmm.
this
yeah.
is all very common. And I do believe it contributes to the high levels of use of antidepressants and anti-anxiety medications that we're seeing today. You know,
oh.
it's It's really
I know. It's amazing. I remember growing up, you know, I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and I had a, you know, my hero was Superman and Spider-Man. Of course, they were the rugged individualist, the Lone Ranger. need I say more?
Emphasis
it was all,
on the word lone.
That's right, exactly. They, rugged individualist. You know, John Wayne was always, you know, beating up somebody by himself. It was all this rugged individualism, and that's great for some men, and it is a part of being.
It doesn't work, and it's not great. I'm sorry, Michael. It's not great for anybody.
It's great if you're in an emergency. It's great if you're, you know, about to be invaded or being hit by a truck or something. There are places where it does work. However, for like you said, for communication, it doesn't really have that much value, I guess.
Right. Right, and I see what you're saying. What you're saying is if you're in an extreme emergency situation where you have to function like that, you go to fight or flight and you're on red alert, yes.
Right.
But in everyday life, we have to work on our insight, we have to build our skills, and we have to get to a place where we have a set of behaviors that allows us to connect with ourselves and connect with others. Now, all three of my books, my first book, Love Lessons, is actually a collection of real marital therapy sessions with real people. And in the book, you're basically a fly on the wall sitting in the room with me while I work with couples who are turning their marriages around. And what we found working with these couples is that we went back three generations and we created what's known as a genogram. And I show you how to do your own genogram in my last book, Power Choices.
Right.
And in that genogram, we could see certain patterns. For example, one of the couples had eloped. And when they eloped, it was a big secret. They didn't tell anybody in the family. And they came back. And lo and behold, you know what they found out?
Yeah.
Their parents had eloped. And they'd kept it a secret.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came back, the parents told them. And then guess what? They found out the grandparents had eloped.
Mm-hmm. That pattern was inherited, huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amazing.
And I'll tell you another very quick story. I was working with a woman who came in to see me some years ago, and one of the things she was struggling with was she was depressed, and she had never told her son that she had gotten pregnant while she was in college and had given up a child for adoption. And I said to her, you should tell your son that story because something like that could turn up in his life. Well, sure enough, her son had an unplanned pregnancy, and his girlfriend gave the child up for adoption, and he was devastated. Then the mom told her son what had happened. Now, how uncanny is that, that it can go from one generation to the next, this secret? How does it happen in families that we repeat patterns and information that we think we don't know, Michael?
Right.
Where there is a thing in families, and you know this, we call it neurological resonance, and all that means is that the subconscious mind is picking up on information that you don't even know you have. Where you're sitting right now, you may be hearing Michael's voice, my voice, and you may be tuning into that, and you may notice a couple other things in the room. But there are so many other bits of information, like the temperature in the air, the floor under your feet, the chair under your bottom, the clothes that are on your skin. Your subconscious mind is reading those bits of information, filing them, but filtering them, because only what the conscious mind needs to function right now is geared up. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And
so we're picking up that information from our parents.
Right, right.
And filing it.
What I noticed, Dr. White, is the decisions that they made. In other words, what I found is that they're what I call linchpin decisions that are sort of key or archetype or whatever you want to call them, but they're very hidden and usually they're passed down. And I've noticed that decisions that my ancestors have made, I find myself making. And I wouldn't have known this until I researched and found out, well, yeah, they must have made that decision because this is how their life turned out.
That's right.
And so, listen, we've got about 10 minutes and the switchboard is lit up here. We've got many callers. If you want to ask a question of Dr. Wade, just press 1 on your keyboard and raise your hand. I'll be happy to call on you and bring you on. So, go ahead, Dr. Wade. You were saying about
that. No, I'm happy
that.
To take questions. Go right ahead.
Absolutely. Let me see if we have any questions here, if anybody wants to ask any. Meanwhile, I wanted to find out, now you've had, you've been in practice how long?
Oh, 25 years.
25 years. And over that period of time, you've had quite a bit of experience discovering what people are, what the influences are that affect people and how their lives are affected. We've got one call. Let me bring her on the air here. Hello, this is Michael. You're on the air. Do you have a question for Dr. Wade?
Hi, this is Bridget. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Hi, doctor. Friend of Wade. This is Bridget. I met you in Savannah.
Oh, yes, Bridget. How are you?
Wonderful. So glad to that you're online. You know, when you talked, I remember I just came back from Germany, and my sister said to me, she said, you know, you're very rebellious. You always have been. And that was who I am, right? So I said to Michael, you know, where did it come from that I behaved that way? And when we look back, when we tested it, it came out as really my father, who couldn't be rebellious because he was 14 when the war in Germany was lost, and he got beaten for 10 hours. So he didn't dare to be rebellious, you know.
Mm.
So I took it on. I lived, was he, but he couldn't, but he wouldn't live.
Yes.
And isn't it interesting?
Yes, that, you know, I have a word for that, and thank you for sharing that story, Bridget. Very often, we flip a 180. And when I say a 180, we take whatever our parents did. For example, I have worked with so many families where the children grew up, the adults grew up as children with very rigid, controlling parents. And they decided when they were little, I will never be like my mom and dad.
Uh-huh.
And they grow up and they become these parents who never set boundaries, who are afraid to give their children structure,
right,
which, of course, children need. They flip a 180. And 180 degrees from sick is still sick. So you took your dad's pattern of being over-controlled and said, darn it, I'm going to rebel. I'm just going to rebel. I'm going to correct that pattern. I will not be like him.
Yeah, probably. Or I live to suppressed wants or needs, you know?
Yes. Yes.
And another thing what shows up for me is that really, I mean, I'm Michael's wife. I use this work all the time. I'm so glad we have it. And what comes up is that I have to be willing to be embarrassed. That is what I pay for. And then, of course, I get freedom. But first, I have to be willing to be just embarrassed to say what's really up, because it doesn't look so good.
Right. So it's important, what I hear you saying, is it's important for you to be the person, I'm going to use slightly different words, Bridget, but I think this captures your meaning. You're willing to be the person who takes risks and speaks the truth. And
yes,
when you take the risk and you speak the truth, it creates a way that you can grow, and others around you can probably grow, but it allows you to do what your dad couldn't do, which is to be your true self in that moment. Whatever that is, you're going to be that person. And that is something that's very difficult to do, because most of us have within us so many boundaries and rules that keep us stuck, because behind a lot of those boundaries and rules is fear. And I find that when we run our lives based on fears, based on anxieties, now I'm not in any way criticizing anybody, because God knows I fought my way through my own fears and anxiety and still dealing with those kinds of things. I think it's normal. But the more we can reduce our anxiety, reduce our fear, reduce the ways that we didn't feel safe as children by actually learning how to love ourselves, nurture ourselves, make ourselves feel safe emotionally. And I do that through using a combined set of tools very similar to what Michael uses in Soul Logic, by looking at the family patterns, doing the work to heal them emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Because I encourage people to find a spiritual connection, because when we rest in that, that's when we truly feel safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, setting into that decision to feel safe. I think it's a decision to feel safe. A lot of people think that there's a mechanism there where we're either safe or not. That's sort of like built-in reality. But I found it true that there's a physiological reality that sets in based on the belief that A, I can be safe, or B, I can't. So if we believe that we can't, we're always on edge. We have this constant jittery going on.
Yeah, what you're looking at that I really like, Michael, is that our minds are more powerful than we ever imagined. And modern neurological research is proving that what you're saying is true. Einstein used to say we only use 10% of our brain power at any given time. And the reason is, as a rule, most of us are not conscious of the decisions we're making. We're not conscious that we've made a decision to feel unsafe based on the data that was available when we were little.
Right.
And so, you know, because all those decisions we made when we were little are still in there in the subconscious, you know, your work, my work, the work of bringing those things out of the subconscious and into consciousness gives us the power to change them. That's why I call my book Power Choices.
Mm-hmm.
And the two things I find that we have decisions about that really, really get in the way. Most people have decisions about love that get in the way of them leading their best lives, and about money. And guess what?
Mm.
Those two overlap.
Yeah.
Love and money, which is why you mentioned earlier
right.
the Love and Money Summit. That's why I founded the summit. That's why it's my mission to cut the divorce rate in half by the end of the year 2015 so that we put ourselves in a place to learn how to change patterns around love and money and stabilize our lives so we have better health, better wealth, better happiness, better success. Kids do better. Communities do better when we have stable families.
Exactly. Now, we've got 2 minutes, Brenda. So you mentioned love and money. Tell us about, is there any news about the Love and Money Summit? Is it going to be out west?
The International Love and Money Summit will be in San Francisco. And thank you for asking about it, Michael. It will be in San Francisco this Labor Day weekend. You can go to loveandmoneysummit.com. It's all spelled out, loveandmoneysummit.com. And take a look there at the information. We have some early bird specials. And I would love for anyone who's able to contribute to the scholarship fund to do some. It's a charitable donation. So we can bring people who are young people that we want to bring in. We had 60 students with us last year from New Orleans who were Katrina survivors. And they were delightful. We were able to bring 60 young people to the summit with us so they can start early learning about healing their decisions, their relationship with love and money. And we have some of the top experts from all over the world. We have great entertainment at night. And we're just going to have a ball in the beautiful city of San Francisco and a chance to tour the city and ride the cable cars and do some fun things.
I look
but
forward
the
to
most
there.
Important part is I want people to know that your work, Michael, what I do, people in our field are coming from what we've learned working on our own issues, our own research, and our own training combined. And it's our way of giving back that what we've learned, we want others to take it and run with it, because when we learn better, we do better.
Right, exactly. Dr. Wade, thank you so much for coming
on
the show.
It's my honor and my pleasure. Thank you, Michael.
And this is Dr. Michael Kirk. This is Logic Soul Talk. Next week, our guest is Otis Collier. He's a consultant, branding consultant. We're going to have him on the show. Join us next Tuesday at 6. Thank you. Dr. Wade, are you there?
Yes. Hi,
okay.
Michael.
Okay. This is the outtake section. We're not streaming live, but people can hear it on a podcast later.
Great.
So if you want to add anything to what you've just said, now's the time to do it. I appreciate your insights, by the way. They're really, really good.
Oh, thank you. And it's always a pleasure talking with someone who's at your level in terms of your own growth and your work in the field. It's encouraging for me. And I think the one thing I want to add is it is quite something to come up with the courage and the willingness to take the journey of self-discovery. And most people are forced into that journey. There's some catastrophe or some crisis or some breakdown in their lives, their health, their wealth, their marriage that
right.
makes them grow. And
the wake-up call.
Yeah, the wake-up call.
Right.
And that's good because sometimes, you know, we need that kick in the pants. But I look forward to the time when people say, I'm not going to wait for a kick in the butt to get moving. I'm going to lift the lid and look under the hood of that car and figure out what's going on under the hood of my car so that I have a smoother ride in my life, and I'm more awake, more aware, more conscious, because then I have a more interesting life, and I can contribute more to the people around me. So I just want to encourage people to do whatever it takes to go back, look at your genogram, learn about your family patterns, see how those are showing up for you, so you don't have to pass those to the next generation. It's so important for each of us to do our work, and, you know, most people are going to wait for that kick in the butt. They don't believe it's coming, but, boy, every one of us is going to get it. That's how life is. It's one of the rules.
Oh, yeah.
And when you do get it, if you wait for it to come, there are ways that you can have help. You know, there are books to read, there are classes to take. Michael's got all kinds of wonderful tools. I've got tools. And take advantage of it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Wade. I'm really a fan of the work, and I look forward to seeing you in San Francisco. It'll be exciting. It'll be exciting. Let's see. So you gave your website, loveandmoneysummit.com. Is there another way people who want to buy your book, let's see, your book is Power Choices, Seven Milestones on Your Journey to Wholeness, Love, Joy, and Peace.
Yes, that's the most recent book. I have a book that I wrote just for people who, and what I'm finding is I wrote the book for people who are of African-American descent, and I've discovered that people all over the world are reading the book because they say it's a human story of overcoming human trauma and distress. And one of the things that I love about the work I've had a chance to do with all my books is I really do provide very, very practical, usable tools and exercises so that you can do the work yourself to make your life better. In the Love Lessons book, I've got what I call my love savers. You know, not only do you get more insight, you get skill and you get love maintaining behavior. In the What Mama book, you break through the emotional legacy of trauma. And in Power Choices, we have the seven choices and the seven very, very powerful exercises and the power tools that you can use to make choices in your life that will make your life work better. So, and all of those, Michael, you know what? I love to give a special offer, so I'm going to make one up right now. Anyone who's listening to us who wants one of my books or wants to come to the summit can call me up or send me an email and say what it is you want, and I will pay the shipping if it's one of the products. You just pay the cost. put my money where my mouth is because I want everyone to have the opportunity. And if it's the summit, just say that you heard this on Soul Logic with Michael Craig, and I will arrange a discount for you for the Love and Money Summit.
Well, that's a good offer, Dr. Wade. Thank you.
Thank you.
Listeners,
my pleasure.
Listening to this, if you're listening to it on the podcast, I guess the offer still applies up until what time or what date?
Oh, you know, the offer will apply. I'll give folks until May 15th.
May 15th.
Yeah, so that almost a month,
okay.
More than a month.
Okay, good enough.
All righty.
Thank you, Dr. Wade. And
my
I look forward
pleasure.
To seeing you.
Yeah. And I send blessings to you and all of our listeners.
Thank you so much.
All righty.
I'll talk to you again soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.